0 TR Mobile. TR KN 4 BWA.
Steve, let me get this music turned down. There we go. How are you doing today? I haven't heard you today. I think I heard Glenn call for you once. And I talked to him for a little while and talked to Dave for a little while and haven't been doing much and kind of staying close to home. But I did have to go get a couple of D-cell batteries. All mine were kerplunked.
I would imagine Glenn is probably a little bit upset with me. I kind of called his hand on some junk that he was putting out there, which was just completely false.
Oh, well, we kind of chest and made up today. I told him why I hadn't been talking to him, and he took it like a man, and we erased that and went on. It's about, the thing I heard him do quite a few times in the past, and I haven't talked to him a lot in a long time, but had a nice conversation. He told me about his Prius and all the problems he had with it, with the electrical system, but he said it was a rec tag or whatever you call it, you know, when he bought it, so that would be a nightmare. Go ahead, Steve. You got a lot of 2RN noise on you there, buddy. A lot of noise that time. Just barely got through.
Chunk. If you really want to know, SARS, the virus that you were referring to, was eradicated in 2004. It originated in China. COV is the term that they use for China-originating infection. What we're dealing with now is the ninth type of disease to affect the lungs coming out of China. The one that we had back in 2009 was also eradicated. It was called H1N1. It originated here. It is also considered a SARS disease. That means severe acute respiratory syndrome. It's a generic name, kind of like cancer. Cancer is a whole family of diseases that are unrelated.
Well, coronavirus is actually a generic name. It's like apple. You got delicious apples, Rome apples, Macintosh apples. Now, the SARS virus was that affected mostly mainland China from 2002-2004, somewhere in that time frame. That virus may have been eradicated, but viruses never entirely go away. They go back into the host, wherever they came from, and they re-evolve. In 2012, you had another virus, MERS, Mediterranean something respiratory syndrome. That was closely related to the 2004 SARS virus. 8 years later, you have the 2012 MERS virus. And 8 or 9 years later, you have, it's actually known as the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Or better, or the disease it causes is known as COVID-19. It's not exactly the same virus, but it evolved from that virus. It's the new and improved SARS virus. N1N1 was the bird flu, and that had a different origin. That originated in poultry, presumably from the name. That was, you're probably right, maybe around 2009. But viruses are tricky things in that you don't ever really eradicate them. They re-evolve into different forms and they pop up again. Sometimes they jump species that they weren't in before. I mean, the SARS-CoV virus is new to us, but I'm sure it was kicking around in some other animal before that. Just like the SARS virus in 2004 and the other one, the Mediterranean virus, in somewhere that originated somewhere in Saudi Arabia. Now, vaccines were in the works for both of those viruses, but because the epidemics were contained relatively quickly, those vaccines were, development was put aside. The SARS vaccine is actually one of the ones that's being used as the framework for the current virus. It's a starting point. It's going to be another couple of months before you actually have a usable virus. But actually, things are being tested now. It's just going to be almost a year for it to be ready.
I want to see you guys' medical license. That's what I want to see. I think you are like me and you both mutated from CB. I know I did. Well, at any rate, nonetheless, it mutated. Well, what are you up to tonight, Steve, and where are you headed?
The mountain up to Columbus. Go up here to Tractor Supply, get a little turkey seed. We saw come by the backyard this morning, and there was one Tom in there that I swear his fan was 2.5 feet across.
At any rate, you can jump back in there. Well, those things are sure beautiful. I took some pictures of a guy who brought one into work one day up there in Kansas, and it was a beauty. And, you know what? I'd been messing with that camera, 35 millimeter, and I'd advanced it in several pictures, and I didn't realize it, and I didn't open the back up again and put film in it, and that, they didn't turn out very good.
That must have been a while back. Or, where are you getting film from these days? Yeah, I tell you what, that's another one of those disappearing technologies. You go into the grocery stores now, and the kids working at it go, camera film? Huh?
You know.
Go ahead, John.
35 millimeter cameras before, too. I bought one in a thrift store once, and I wanted, it was half a roll of film in it. I wanted to rewind it back and take it out, maybe develop it, but, you know, I guess if you don't feel carefully where it comes off the spool, you end up fogging it when you, but yeah, 35 millimeter film, I don't even know where you get that anymore except to send away for it, because, I don't think film photography is gone. Digital is one of those disruptive technologies which is either so much cheaper, so much better, or so much easier that the previous way of doing things just goes away. I even had dental x-rays not that long ago where they put the thing in your mouth that looks like the thing that used to hold the film plate that you bite down on, but it's got a wire at the end of it. So even for specialty imaging, they're not using film.
No, guys, this is about 20 years ago. I did the industrial photography for our plant for a few years, and the guy brought it in, and I said, well, let me take a picture of that, Jim, and I was going to develop it and blow it up for him, and it didn't work out, but he took more pictures at home, so it worked out all right. This is N0TR, and we're headed over to see the kids at the lake.
N0TR, this is KN4VWA. Tom, that's what I did for the last 10 or 15 years of my medical career, was digital medical imaging. I saw film disappear. There's still just a dab of it out there from here and there, but it's rare. So anyhow, now everybody knows what I did for a living. X-ray equipment, just like what Glenn was talking about, with that little pickup, and only on a much larger size for humans. So, anyhow, I will talk to you again soon there, Tom. N0TR, this is KN4VWA. I'm clear.
Yeah, the last time I went to the dentist down here at Crowns Now, they had a little thing that looked like a gun, a good-sized gun, and they just snapped a picture of it with that, and you just bit down on that thing that Glenn was talking about. Pretty neat, though, just to have it in a gun size instead of pulling that thing down from the ceiling and sticking it over against your chin. Go ahead, Glenn. 73, Steve.
Hey, Steve. What surprises me is you have digital imaging sensors big enough for a chest x-ray. Because x-rays, obviously, you can't focus. So you need a piece of film, a plate big enough to image the thing you're trying to image. That would be a very, very, very big imaging sensor. Now, it's little imaging sensors that are in cameras, I don't know how much... It's one of these things where the cost and complexity must get, geometrically bigger. I don't know how many megapixels that would even be.
Just a little quick piece of information. Cameras use CCD, charged coupled devices. What you're talking about is not the same thing with a dentist, and they've had 17-inch by 17-inch chest x-ray size receptors around for the last 10 to 15 years. Bye, guys.
See you later, Steve. Yeah, I know they've got cameras now that are up to, I think, around 46 megapixels, Glenn, somewhere in that region. And the military's probably got better. But the Hasselblads out there now, the digital ones are incredible. You know, they're 25, 30 megapixels, something like that. I haven't looked at them in years because they're out of my pay grade.
I assume it's still the medium format, the same size imaging sensor. I think it's a 40 or 50 megapixel thing now. Of course, that might be, I'm sure, a $10,000 or $20,000 camera body. You know, not including lenses. Hasselblad for film was expensive enough. Those were $2,000 or $3,000 cameras even back then. And even now, they're not that much cheaper. I saw one of the Hasselblad websites. I forget what the resolution they're up to.
Yeah, that's like they took to the moon. Oh, they had the CM500 and different ones, I think was the ones. I shot with an RB67 for a short time. Yeah, but mostly I did 35 millimeter. The RB67 was 6x7 format, the ideal format, and the expensive camera. It was just for another industry, though. Anyways, gotta go, Glenn. I've arrived at the destitution here. 73, N0 TR clear.
Okay, well, N0 TR, KD2BNG. I got soup cooking, so I guess I'll be clear too. See you later.